All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Matt Coe. That was Kevin Keats pre-Duke. And I'll tell you what, Matt, that was – I went back and watched Wolfpack 1, and if you haven't seen the last two episodes, it's been fantastic. And a couple things stood out to me, right? One, Keats pre-game, this one, the UNC one I'll play later on, were awesome, right? He's not taking any crap. And I was like, okay, I like this. This is a different side. And it's a bit of, hey, we deserve to be there. But the other thing that stood out to me was how improbable that UVA game was. Of all the games that we've played and this run that we've been on, down 5 or 6 with less than a minute left, their best free throw shooter on the line misses the front end of a 1-1. Casey gets fouled, shooting a 3. I mean, it was just unbelievably improbable that whole game. And watching it back, I'm still like, I can't believe we won this game. I just cannot believe it. And I know we're talking about the NCAA tournament, but just watching, you know, Wolfpack 1 or whatever it's called now. I don't know, man. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I've seen some clips here and there. I haven't actually gotten to sit down and watch all the way through. I did see that clip of Keats, and if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will.
Yeah, here is Keats before the UNC game, too. It was pretty cool. UNC. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That insight and the clips they showed of, you know, halftime speeches and just that was awesome. And to me, when they were panning around the crowd during that UNC game and just like people realizing it's real, it was wild, man. That brings back a lot of emotions. It's been a wild ride, and I made Matt Coe sit here for 30 minutes. And by the way, we're streaming this live on the Twitter and YouTube, which I'm going to try to do more often. But I made Matt sit here for about 30 minutes while I clipped all of the media that I could find, because State has never been in the national conversation so much this week. But there's a couple that stood out, but one that really got Matt Coe fired up. So I'm going to play this 7-second clip here. So that Rich Eisen, DJ Burns was on the Rich Eisen show, and that was an actual question he asked DJ Burns. What an absolute clown show. I heard that, I'm like, that can't be real. And it was. I went back and watched the whole interview. Is just awful. But I can't believe you would ask that question. I was like, it's got to be some context missing. Nope. No context missing. That was it. It was terrible. And as somebody else pointed out in the pod chat, this is why he's on a Roku channel. And I'm just like, yeah, that's about right. Unbelievable. Matt, terrible?
Terrible would be a compliment. I'm going to say this, man. Rich Eisen isn't the only one that just came unprepared, unready to do some real questioning, some real journalism and get to know who's on their show. Seen it on television, seen it on podcasts, seen it on here, there, everywhere. It is so hilarious to me that, and I'm a frequent listener of Pardon My Take, PMT. Go listen to those guys. They are quite literally the number one sports podcast and have been for quite some time now. If you know those guys, they are a bunch of, you know, unserious jackasses, right? And that's their niche. That's what works for them. But they're good at what they do, and they take what they do very seriously, and they do some real digging of information. And out of all the countless questions and podcasts and interviews that DJ Burns has done, theirs is far and away the best one. I got to learn real things about DJ Burns. I didn't know he played multiple instruments. I didn't know that, you know, he played the piano. That's incredible. Didn't know that he was an entrepreneur and owns a couple vending machines. They got to really get down to earth with the guy. And maybe that's because that's their style of podcast, right? That's an easy cop. But what's not an easy cop is that they took the time and effort to really be interested in who they're interviewing. And it's just very frustrating to look at a player like DJ Burns, who is probably the most popular player in college basketball right now for the men's side, and to see his character get dumbed down to, hey, what's it like being really fat? That's just very frustrating. I get it. He's a big guy. There's no hiding from that. And I watched the entire 9-minute video with Rich Eisen, and the entire time I just thought it was such weak questioning and uncharacteristic of a guy like Rich Eisen. Maybe he just misspoke. I don't know. But to ask that in that frame was just so frustrating to watch. You could ask him a million questions, and it just seems like everything goes back to how can we get the fat guy to talk about how fat he is. I can't remember, was it the Oakland game where the analyst handed him a big Sunday boat ice cream? Yeah. And if you go back and listen to years and years ago of – was it the Texas Tech game? Okay. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago of players getting asked all the way from – you know, the best player to the bench player. You're like, what do you get? And everybody's just like, oh, we just get some like vanilla, you know, just something simple. No, they had to do the most extravagant, over the top thing because they wanted a little photo op, and good for DJ Burns to not fall into that trick. They wanted a little picture of the big guy eating some ice cream, and you saw it. He handled it well, and I think he's handled this really well. And who knows? Maybe he's not even feeling disrespected by it, but I just, for me, there are so many things that are so quality about him that we could be talking about and discussing. And it's amazing to me that the only people that are asking worthwhile questions are the ones that are deemed these unprofessional journalists who do a 1,000 times better job and take their job very seriously compared to these people with these big talk shows on these networks. Very frustrating. I've had to bite my tongue on a lot of stuff. So.
Spot on. Most of the media coverage this week has been fantastic. It's been great to, you know, listen to the Yahoo Sports pod, and they're talking about NC State. You listen to Cover 3, they're talking about NC State. You listen to Golic and Golic, and they're talking about NC State. And all these other people are giving positive vibes and a positive outlook on the whole story. And then you have clown questions like that. It just, to me, it's just ridiculous. And then the other one today was 24/7 put out the article about best NBA prospect in every team in the Sweet 16, and didn't even mention NC State. And I get it. There's not a lot of NBA talent on this team. That's besides the point. People are like, why are you getting mad at everything? Like, I'm not getting mad at it. It's just stupid to me. It's just dumb.
Did they do all other 15 teams?
Every other team, and they mentioned Iowa State, Gonzaga. Like, oh, there's not a lot of pro prospects on this team. Like multiple times, and that's the fact. They just left it out. Now, I think they went back and updated the article after enough people commented on it. I tweeted it out there and whatever else, but like it's silly to me. Like, I don't know, but yeah. most of the coverage has been good, man. It's been great to hear all of the positive talk about it. Everybody on the bandwagon. Just the viewership numbers that NC State games are doing right now is phenomenal. I'm going to play, this is Mike Golic, or Golic Jr.
On a friend.
Wow. In that small town he was from, it was him, John Morant, and then...
He almost butchered that right there at the UNC, but he got it right. And there's been a lot of good coverage about that, right? There's been a lot of good coverage like that this week, and it's been awesome. I'm just so enjoying this ride. I don't know, man. I don't know how much secondary media you consume, but what's your take on... All the NC State hype, the Cinderella story.
It's fun, to say the least. I mean, it's fun to be kind of the center of attention. It almost feels like DJ Burns is like a year late. Like, everybody's kind of late to the party. Like, this is the perfect prototype. A big guy that moves like a ballerina. Like, this is the perfect – who's hype and hypes up his teammates. Like, he's just a good guy. Like, I got – when I was over at PNC, I actually – we were riding an elevator together, and yeah, like he's a big dude, but like super nice. He's like a giant teddy bear. Like, he's just a good, nice, wholesome guy. And I think he's just carried himself really well up to this point. But as a State fan, like, it's really cool to finally be considered in the conversation for a second. So I'm appreciating it. I'm loving it.
He's handled all of the good and the bad very well.
Yeah.
Like, he handled the ice cream situation very well. He handled the...
He handed that right off as soon as he gave it to him. I was like, dude, first of all, I just got done playing my ass off in this game. The last thing I want to eat is this.
Right. And so, then he handled the Rich Eisen interview better than I would have. And better than a lot of the Twitter responses
and
the clip out there.
And he even, if you watch the whole video, he mentioned after that, he's like, you know, how did you fill out? something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here. So, like, there's a better way to ask that, but it's just, it's this constant going back to, like, how large he is, but not in, like, the sense of, like, how dominant he is. It's just, I don't know. It's just bad, bad reporting.
Yeah, I agree. The other one I thought was interesting. Let's see. I got one more. Jeff Borzello and Pete Thamel end up talking about NC State. Pretty good. I mean, and like most of everybody else, you know, most of the nation is probably watching more NC State basketball than they have in the last 5 years, right? I mean, this guy's it's great. I love the coverage, man, and I love the conversation around it. I love the secondary fans are like, yeah, you know, go Pack, and just all the randoms that are getting. I mean, we've got the airline pilots that are getting trash talking over the mic in the pod chat. We've got just everybody. It's been so good. I'm enjoying it, and I don't know, man. I don't want to end. I want this to be the new normal. I don't want us to be Cinderella more often. I want to be, you know, people talking about how good the program is, how good the basketball team is, and hopefully this is a springboard to better things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, if you can beat Marquette, I think you can beat anybody in this field at this point in time.
So, good transition. Marquette. We got Marquette Friday night, 20 minutes before the women tip off against, I forgot who the women play. But first of all, the NCAA really missed the mark with those two, getting those two times. And there's just no need to do that in the same night. It's, to me, it's ridiculous, but yeah, it is what it is at this point. NC State plays Marquette, and I've watched Marquette a bunch this year. I've watched a bunch of the Big East basketball games, and they're good. Like, they're straight up good. You know, everybody's got the Shaka Smart NCAA tournament flame out kind of vibes, but I think this team is legit. I don't know if they've got that in them. They've got a really strong backcourt led by Tyler Kolek. Everybody knows, heard the name. Cam Jones is their score leader. They've got three guys shooting about 40% from three. I mean, their backcourt's tough. They play a tough matchup zone, which is going to give State a different look. How are you feeling about this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want people to confuse Marquette with the season that they've had to NC State, that the season they've had, right? The numbers and the metrics prior to 10, 15 days ago, like that just doesn't matter at this point. Like, we're in the nitty gritty. Marquette is a excellent team, top to bottom. They've got a great five. I really like this Marquette team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won it all. They are that good. Tyler Kolek, in my opinion, is probably the best point guard in the country. I just love everything he does. He's really fun to watch. Over the last two NCAA tournament games, he is averaging 19.5 points per game, 11 assists, and 5.5 rebounds. Give me that and twice on Sunday. He is elite, and Cam Jones is a bucket. And as much as people want to talk about Marquette's backcourt, we got a solid backcourt as well. I think with Jaden Taylor's defense, if he can really lock in on whoever they decide to put on Tyler Kolek, you know, I'm assuming it'll be either Jaden Taylor or Casey Morsell, because you're going to need to lock down at least one of their top scorers. I think we have a fighting chance. I really do. Looking at the numbers, the last 10 games just stacking up side by side, they're really not that far off. They're playing identical basketball, at least what the numbers tell you from a metric standpoint. So I'm not as worried. This is going to sound really weird. I'm not as worried as I was with like Texas Tech or Oakland, because I didn't really know what kind of team we were going to get going into those games. Like, are we going to fizzle out? But clearly we haven't. So we're playing with confidence. We're the hottest team in the country. I like our chances. I think we're going to put up a solid fight. And if we do lose, it'll be, you know, a 1-2 possession game.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're going to get blown out. I just think it's going to be a tough game. I think we need to hit some – we need some guys to shoot well. Cam in the chat asks, what player has to have a great game for us to win on Friday? What do you think?
Well, several. to make it easy for you. I think it's just depending on what they do. I think a lot of it's going to come down to DJ Burns on defense. Who's going to be able to protect the paint? We know that, look, he played 42 minutes in the last game. Like, he's putting in the effort, and that's great and everything. But we've seen DJ Burns give up a basket or two on defense. I think Mo Diarra is going to have to help out for sure. That pick and roll that Kolick likes to play with their center is going to be the focal point of their offense. They're going to abuse that. So defense in the paint, I think, is going to matter. And you got to be able to stop one of Cam or Kolick. You just have to, because if both of them are on fire, I think chances are really low for NC State. A lot of people are talking about Marquette center, and he is good, don't get me wrong. And, you know, Marquette scored 48 in the paint against Colorado, 25 for 34 on two-pointers made. That's over 73%. And if you look at their shot chart, which is actually a really, really cool little chart that I found from at JG Trends. He's been putting these out lately. And then right at the top of the key, that is the only time that they'll heat up for sure. Those are the shots that they're looking for. Not so great on the corner three. So as long as we can defend that paint, I think we'll be all right. So I'm looking at DJ Burns' defense. I'm looking at Mo Diarra with the help. Can Ben Middlebrooks provide some – I'm not asking him to go out and get 20 points or anything like that, but can he provide some kind of some help on offense and defense? So, yep, that's the chart right there.
Actually sharing. We're experiencing a lot of new things on our live stream today, but here's a shot chart Matt was referencing. I mean, that is – hella impressive.
That is a thing of beauty right there.
Yeah. And I'll give it up. State shot chart right here looks a lot better than it has. If you looked at our average over the, let's say, like January, February, it didn't look like this. There's a lot of mid-range shots scattered in there. And but Marquette one's pretty.
It's kind of ironic, too. If you look at their three-point line, they are quite literally the opposite. NC State shoots from the top of the key. And then on the corners there, that's their highest percentage of makes. And then Marquette is quite literally inverted. So I think these teams are a little bit more similar than a lot of teams and a lot of players a lot of fans are making it out to be. There's a lot of similarities with these two teams.
Yeah. To me, we need DJ Horn to get back to DJ Horn status, right? He had an off game. It's the first off game he's had in – God knows how long. We need him back in regular DJ Horn mode, hitting shots, making plays. But you need some other guys to hit some deep shots, right? I think you need to stretch them out. You need DR to hit the corner three. You need Michael Connell to keep his good shooting going. I think that's how you stretch them out, right? That's how you make this zone stress. We're not the best shooting team, but we've been doing well enough, and I just think we need to do well enough against
Mark. And it's going to open up shots for DJ, of course. Burns, I'm talking about, if we're making those shots. I forgot to mention, in the first two rounds, this is stacking up with the 16 teams left in the field. In the first two rounds, points in the paint, Marquette has scored 88. That's second best, and NC State is 78, which is sixth best. So they're right there. I mean, like, they really are right there. I don't – see anything that is like a major outlier as far as how they stack up. Gonna be a lot of points. They're gonna probably send a little bit of help on DJ Burns. Will they double team him and leave somebody open on the three is gonna be the question.
Yeah, I don't know. Oakland obviously did. They brought two and three people, and NC State was able to make them pay. Taylor hit a couple shots. O'Connell hit some shots. DR hit some shots. I don't know if that's the game plan that a team that is not as undersized as Oakland is going to embrace, right? I mean, I think that's – I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they're going to constantly double. They might show some doubles and drop down help on them, but I don't know. They're going to make us shoot and make us prove that we can shoot, I think. I think that's kind of how this game is going to play out. State needs to be disruptive on the defensive end and needs to get out and run. Marquette's backcourt is their strength, though, so it will be interesting to see how we match up with them, you know, who shuts down or who holds down Kolek. I think Horn has embraced that role as point guard kind of challenge lately.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's been playing more off the ball, but I can see him and Kolek going back and forth. But maybe it's him and Cam Jones are going to go back and forth, and Casey's going to be on the point guard like he was RJ Davis for a while there.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Who do you think is going to be on Cam Jones? Because I feel like the easy answer is Casey, but if Taylor's hitting shots, like I need somebody who's out there going to be hitting threes as well.
Yeah, I think Horn stays on Jones. I don't know how much he is going to – I mean, most of his damage is done from the three-point line. I think he shot almost 100 threes this year. He's a 40% three-point shooter. He's a good player, but I think he's more outside than inside. I think they'll put Horn on him.
Okay.
And let Casey chase Kolek and make him beat him, right? And in order to make plays, they're going to have to go through Casey, right? And I think that's how I would see it coming. Even Jaden Taylor, if his ankle's back, you know, they'll probably have him chasing Kolek a little bit. That would be my expectation. How's Marquette on the inside, though?
They're really good on the inside. Like I said, they dominate. excuse me. They dominate on the inside in the paint. I hope I'm saying his name right. I have been struggling with this all week. Iguodaro, I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. He's great. He's really good. He's averaging 13-6, 6-8, and he has the ability to block. He averages over one a game. He is 6'11", and I know that we've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again. DJ Burns usually does not do well in terms of playing against size as far as height goes. So like I said, to me, DJ Burns, he really needs to be a two-way player. Get him in foul trouble. Hopefully the refs are, you know, calling a decent game, not like that Oakland game. But, you know, we'll see. Don't expect a whole lot of turnovers being forced by either team. NC State is at 9.5 turnovers per game. Marquette's at 10. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a lot of inside scoring. Kolek's going to be able to get inside as well. He's going to use that pick and roll. Look for him to get inside.
Some questions from the folks. When did DJ Burns put on his weight? I mean, yes, I don't know how to answer that question. Who are the refs and where their Marquette degrees in? I think that is probably relevant. That crew, I still won't get over that crew from the Oakland game. That was horrendous. Horrendous. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about this game? Like, it's going to be, to me, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I think it's a tough matchup for us. But if we play like we have been playing, and I think the Oakland game was a bit of an aberration.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't think we played very well in that game. I think the officials called it very weird.
Right.
And that was part of it.
And a lot of people want to point to that game because they went to overtime and said that, you know, we struggled with them and whatnot. But this is the same Marquette team that blew a 12-point lead to Colorado, who right. easily could have won against Marquette. It's March. Like, right. anybody can win a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. You know, I think, like I said, I think that game was an aberration. I think they'll come back to playing more like they were in the ACC tournament. It's interesting, though. This will be the first time they've had a long break, right? I mean, essentially, they've had a few days off. I guess after the ACC tournament, they had 5 days off.
Like 5 or 6 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And look, maybe there was some – I doubt it, right? Like I said, you got to respect the team in front of you. Maybe there was a little bit of in the back of their mind, like we're looking past Oakland a little bit, and maybe that's why a little bit of slop kind of played out. Because, right. I mean, up to that point, going in after probably the Louisville game, they have not played like that at least. So there was that outlier, and I'm glad they had the outlier before easily their toughest game to date. So get it out of the way, move on.
Yeah. moving on past this game.
Oh, wait, I do want to mention one more thing before we move on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Throwing it back to JG Trends, I really like this chart too. It's a little bit of a confusing chart, but it's special teams. So it basically is points per play – after timeout, late clock, out of bounds, under one to play, basically close late game situations, and it deviates, you know, how well you're doing versus how poorly you're doing. NC State's in that bottom left side, which is not good. Marquette is more on the absolute elite side there with Alabama and Gonzaga and Arizona. So I will say I am going to be very worried and very doubtful if Marquette has a lead with, let's say, three-ish minutes to go. If they have a comfortable two or three possession lead with 3 minutes to go, I think it's over.
I do like this guy's chart, man. He's got all kinds of charts.
Yeah.
Non-conference wins. He's got each individual team. Dunk City. We are not high on the Dunk City. Marquette is. Interesting. Adjustments. Halftime adjustments. Everybody's favorite. Halftime adjustments. Where's NC State? Right in the middle. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. This guy's got a lot of good stuff.
Discipline. Yeah. Outside of that one right there, looking at everything, they really are neck and neck in a lot of things. You know, a lot of his ratings, like his defensive adjusted defensive rating, over the last 10 games, NC State ranks 14th out of the Sweet 16. Marquette ranks 10th, so they're right at that 100 line. So it's fairly similar right there. But one thing you have to notice is that Kolick missed 6 of the last 10 games. So my point being is you got to stop Kolick. If you really want a chance to win this game and make it as close niche as it is, as the numbers say, Kolick is that X factor. Adjusted offensive rating. NC State and Marquette are quite literally identical. They are right there at that 120 line. Marquette, I think, is just like a hair above them. Mm-hmm. And they're both 11th and 10th out of the Sweet 16. If I'm reading that chart correctly, it's a little confusing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if they can really eliminate Kolick, like if our guards is really going to have the best defensive showing. This Casey Marcel run that he's been on, where his defensive presence has been going viral, that's got to show up. And if it does, then, yeah, this is going to be a lot closer than what people are giving us.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think one thing that stands out to me about Casey is that he hasn't taken as many of his patented 16-foot turnaround fadeaway shots that I cannot stand. He took one or two at this tournament, but not many. He usually has a couple of game. You're like, no! Just a bad, you know, it's a low percentage shot. But he hasn't done that, right? He's been doing everything else, and I think the team's better for it. And I think the same thing with Jaden Taylor. And I'll stand corrected. I think last episode I said he hadn't been shooting well, but he's shooting close to 37% from three over the last month. And even in the last game, you know, I still think he's better when he is playing more of a 3-and-D style, right? He's not a pure three-point shooter, but when he's not trying to, and this goes the same with Casey, when he's not trying to make plays at the rim, like tough contested plays, I just think the team plays better, and they both play better. They're more efficient that way. And maybe that's what it boils down to, efficiency.
Yeah.
But that's Jaden what I want to see out of both of them.
Yeah, Jaden Taylor, really, I would love it if he just focused quite literally on defense. I mean, if you got an open shot, obviously take it. But this is his shot chart since the Duke game. 2-for-7, 1-for-2, 1-for-2. Didn't take a shot against Texas Tech, and then 3-for-9 against Oakland. So his shots are getting less and less. He's not really taking a whole lot of them, but he's staying on the floor. He's committed 3 fouls in those 5 games, so playing solid defense.
Yeah, all right. A couple weeks ago we talked about Akon and T-Pain. I'm going to bring you to my side here. But I want to know who are your top 5-ish male actors?
I really wish you would have gave me some time on this. How are you just going to drop this on
well,
me?
Well, there's a reason I'm asking this question, because there's only one name I want to hear, and I want to know if you mentioned it.
Okay. So all right.
Blame Alec Lower.
Okay.
Trinity Road Times, The Lock Cast.
I feel like
put this out there, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to talk about this.
I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio, he's got to be on there. I've just seen so many of his movies. This is tough. Like, I
come on,
I like Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
Just male actors?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Christian Bale's really good. Joaquin Phoenix is great. A fifth one. I'd have to go through the movies real quick. Okay, this is going to sound really weird because I don't even think he's all that great of an actor, but one of my favorite movies of all time is by this guy, so I'm gonna throw him in there. Ben Stiller.
Okay, that's a top five I was not expecting. I'll give you that much. You didn't mention the greatest actor of our generation, Nicolas Cage.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Nicolas Cage, Oscar winner Nicolas Cage. Throw some respect on that man's name. He is, if you look at movie portfolios, the depth of Nicolas Cage's movie portfolio beats everybody else.
I mean,
he's got way more winners than
I mean, National Treasure was good. I like
National
that.
Treasure, The Rock, Gone in 60 Seconds. I could go on. There's a ton of them. The Matchstick Men. So many good movies. He has got an unbelievable
Yeah, never portfolio. Seen any of those.
What?
Yeah. And so I'm a big movie guy for everybody listening. I'm a huge movie guy. And I know I sound like an idiot just because I just said that. But I have a rule. If I don't see a movie from beginning to end, I will not watch that movie. Like, if I'm flipping through the channel and Remember the Titans is on in the middle, I'm not going to watch it because I hear how great it is. I've never seen Remember the Titans.
What?
I've never seen Remember the Titans. I swear to God. And every time I see it, it's on ABC Family halfway through, and I'm just like, well, I'm not going to enjoy this. I don't know what's going on. Like, I know what's going on, right? But, like,
yeah,
I got to see all of it for what it is if it's this great. So, yeah.
Snake Eyes, Face Off, Leaving Las Vegas, The Family Man, Matchstick Men, I already said, National Treasure.
You're just saying words at this point. None of this means anything to me.
I didn't even know this conversation. Rock. This is a better conversation for Will. I hope he listens to this. And
Leonardo DiCaprio, like, two of his movies are better than all of those put together.
You're crazy. Nicolas Cage is a fantastic actor. Underrated actor. Go watch Matchstick Men. It's an unbelievable movie. Lord of War is a fantastic movie. He was so good in it. I get he's got a lot of stinkers. There's a bunch in there you're like, I'm not going to watch any of those. But his good movies way outnumber the bad ones. Big Nicolas Cage fan. And Alec wanted somebody to make a case for Nicolas Cage.
Heard.
There's your case. Oscar winner, fantastic portfolio of movies. Yes. Matt Coe's going to have some homework. He's got to watch some of these movies. I'm going to make a list of Nicolas Cage movies you get to watch.
More popcorn for me. That's fine.
Yeah. All right, folks. I can't believe there's nearly 400 of y'all watching live on Twitter. It's our first live stream. You got another question?
I just got one thing to say for everybody talking about this run. I forgot to mention this. These are the seeds in the Sweet 16. In the East, it's 1, 2, 3, and 5. In the West, it is 1, 2, 4, and 6. In the Midwest, it is 1, 2, 3, and 5. And in the South, it is 1, 2, 4, and number 11, NC State. This is as chalk of a tournament. They belong here. I like our chances. Let's do a prediction before we get out of here. Do a prediction.
Pack rides. They're going to win by four. It's going to be a close game. Pack pulls it out in the end. I like our momentum. I'm going with the momentum.
I'll say 82 NC State. NC State.
Yeah.
82-77.
I think Marquette's really good. So my
they're great.
My comps level is mediocre on this one. They're a really good basketball team. They're fun to watch. They are they do a lot of things tough. It's going to be interesting to see how they call it, how they handle the bigs inside. You know, we've had guys like Middlebrooks have some blowout games and then not show up or just not have big impacts. We're going to need contributions from everybody. And I feel good about it, man. Am I buying into the Kevin Keats era? I guess I am. He's convinced me, and
somebody should listen to this episode and then rewind 2 weeks ago and when we were talking. We're sitting here advocating for us to be an Elite Eight team. How crazy is this world?
It is wild. It is wild. Yeah, like I don't know what's clicked. Something has clicked. We've talked about this before. But they're playing well.
And that's what clicked. That's what clicked. That video of Kevin Keyes talking in that locker room. That's what clicked right there.
Yeah, they're playing well, man. He's, you know, Deion said, "Do you believe?" I love the "Why not us? Why not us, man?" Like that is, why not us? And I think Pack's gonna win. They're gonna keep it going, man. Let's go. They're gonna keep surprising everybody. Cinderella's story's gonna ride on, and everybody's gonna keep talking about DJ Burns and everybody else. But there's so much more to this team. I mean, DJ Horn's not getting enough credit for how good he's been. Michael Collins not getting enough credit for how good he's been. Diarra has been fantastic. Just the light bulb came on for Diarra at some point. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just more playing time, but he has been just doing everything and doing it well. Shooting, rebounding, obviously. I mean, dude had 30 rebounds in the first two rounds. Unbelievable. Unbelievable single effort. When you can get a guy like that, that is, you know, all the story has been he hasn't played organized basketball very long. And, like, if the light bulb comes on for that guy, and now I'm talking, like, just think of the potential for him in the future. Like, he's got all the tools, and I love his game. He won't be able to eat or drink in the first half, I guess, of this game, but I don't think it's a big concern. I think he'll be okay. But yeah, I'm fired up, man. I'm looking forward to watching this, and we talked about it earlier last week, where somebody said this is the first time State fans have had joy in a long time, and it was dead on, man. It feels like that, and I'm like looking forward to watching the basketball game, and that's how far it's been. I actually did. I promised y'all I clipped the Jay Wright quote. Here's the Jay Wright quote post game after Oakland, and a little bit better audio this time. Yeah, I love it. I would love to see the three triangle schools just all become basketball powers again at the same time, and just see what that does for you know, the league and the hype and everybody in this area. I think it's just it'd be fantastic. And I'm hoping that's the trajectory we're on.
It would 100% put Keats in a new tax bracket in terms of not the contracts or anything like that. Yeah, maybe, but no, I'm talking about like players, you know, the ongoing, oh, we can't get that guy, let's go get somebody. No, like this is the run that they're making, and this run is going to help them in the future 100%.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think you'll see. I'd love to see this exposure in this tournament really show up in the off season, in terms of NIL, but also recruiting and landing some guys in the portal. We've been talking about in the pod chat. There's a ton of good talent in the portal, and starting to, bring them in and capitalize on this momentum is going to be huge. As always, thanks for supporting the pod. Thanks for 400 of you guys watching on Twitter. It's pretty badass. As always, we try to do our best, and we will be back next time. And as always, go Pack!